The Frontiersman and the Dandy. Joseph Henry was a strapping, raw-boned American from the distant reaches of the frontier state of New York, who, by the age of 30, had left jobs as a handyman, too boring, a builder, too low paid, a metal worker, too hot, and then, most disastrously, a surveyor, where he'd let himself be talked into leading a crew for several winter months through the forests towards the Canadian border, far, far too cold. In 1826, freshly back from the surveying and miraculously undamaged by frostbite, he heard about a position at a school in his native town of Albany. The salary would be low, and as a new hire, Henry would be stuck with teaching elementary arithmetic along with other topics. But the classrooms would be warm, so he nabbed the new job in an instant. He had dozens of farm boys to keep quiet, boys expert at spitballs and pencil jabs, but he knew what would keep them happy. Boys like building stuff, and the bigger the better. You just give them something really, really big to build. The new field of electricity would be a good place to hunt for an idea, he decided, for it was an area he'd long been intrigued by in a casual, self-educated way. The word covered a whole range of effects, from small sparks of static to the giant lightning bolts investigated famously by Philadelphia's best-known retired printer, Benjamin Franklin. It was interesting stuff, for it always seemed to involve a strange sort of sparking substance. No one knew much more about what it actually was, though, but Henry had just heard an intriguing hint. Not many European science journals made it to Albany, but one that did, months late, after the usual long ocean voyage and the wait for the ice on the Hudson to melt, described the extraordinary experiment of a recently demobilized British artillery officer, William Sturgeon. When Sturgeon had taken a piece of iron and wrapped a coil of wire around it, nothing much had happened. That was fair enough. But when he'd gone on and connected the wire to a battery so that Volta's mysterious electric current sparked through the wire, the ordinary iron had seemed to come alive. It had turned into a strong magnet that pulled other pieces of iron toward itself, as if an invisible force were jumping from the wire into the iron. Switch off the battery and everything stopped. The original lump of iron became inert, and what it had lifted toward itself fell off. It was no longer magnetized. Sturgeon didn't know what to make of this discovery, but Henry knew exactly what to do with it. His boys were suffering a general winter restlessness, and this amazing toy is what he could use to keep their attention. The boys were good with their hands and liked solid physical things, as their parents did too. Most of the wooden houses around Albany were newly built, and it was often the settlers themselves who had done the building. If he can make the electrical magnet really huge, he'd have them all on his side. Creating one of Volta's batteries to power the whole contraption wasn't too hard, for there was plenty of metal ore available, either locally or from the big ports to the east. Henry was a fast worker, and by 1827, he had duplicated Sturgeon's work, creating an electromagnet that could lift 9 pounds. The boys in his classroom wrapped still more coils of wire around the lump of iron. The battery was switched on. The wrapped chunk of iron could now lift more than 20 pounds. Henry did yet more wrapping, and when the coils of wire got so close together that they touched and started crackling, he simply asked his new bride for her petticoats, enlisted her to help cut them into strips, and used the cloth to insulate the copper wires so that they could be wrapped even more tightly together. By 1830, there on the edge of the American frontier, he had succeeded in building a small electromagnet that could lift 750 pounds. The school kids loved it, and no doubt asked some of their friends, still out on the farms, to come by to watch this marvel. Henry was proud of it too, but for a deeper reason. He was a deeply religious man, and had always suspected that God had created marvels not visible to ordinary eyes. With enough ingenuity, though, we could magnify and reveal God's hidden work.